Aidan Fitzmaurice, sports correspondent of The Herald, thank you so much for joining me today. So I suppose we will start with last night's action, and we'll start with the big news, I suppose. Shamrock Rovers, they're still cursed at Dalymount.
Yeah, still cursed against Bowes. That's 8 in a row where they haven't beaten them, 4 in a row where they've lost. It really is just a psychological problem they have getting against Bowes. I mean, if ever they're going to beat them, it was last night. Bowes really had the entire back four were missing. Darley, the left back, has been too long with the Irish under-21s. They're playing today. The two suspended, one injured. So, you know, makeshift back four. You know, Andy Lyons, kid of 18, is doing his leading start, playing fullback. And, you know, Keith Long spoke to him after. He said he wasn't that stressed because he just knew the young players are fringe players, but they're good enough. And they came in last night and they really did. And it's just that thing that Rovers really need to lift that. They need to beat them because the longer the run goes on, the more problem it comes for them psychologically. So two blows for Shamrock Rovers. Obviously another derby defeat. They don't play each other now for 11 weeks. That defeat will fester with them, with the fans in particular. They hate losing to Bohemians, particularly when Bohemians aren't doing so well, of a smaller budget, but also in terms of the title race. Next up for Rovers, we have the mid-season break now, but next up for Rovers is Dundalk. If Dundalk beat them, it looks like the league could be more or less over. Rovers had the chance. They had a lead earlier on when Dundalk were having their slip, but Rovers, just the last couple of weeks, drawn with Derry last week and losing to Bohemians last night. It just looks as if Rovers have maybe run out of steam a little bit.
Last night's game, Finn Harps, they don't seem to have any luck this year.
No, and that was it. Look, you know, St Pat's at home. St Pat's haven't been great at home. I know I wasn't at the game. I was at Dalymount for the Bowes Rovers game, just following online. I mean, Pats fans were very nervous. 83 minutes, they just feel they've a bit of a bogey against Harps. I know they won up in Ballybuffet there around about Easter time, but the start of the season, Harps did get a draw away to Pats. And it just seemed Harps are probably just that thing, maybe two players short of getting a result, you know, being able to do that, to hold St Pat's away from home for 83 minutes, just hold on for the other 7 minutes plus and get there. They just fell short last night. So the longer the season goes on, just the losing run that Harps are on at the moment, you know, you just see that gap, you know, themselves and UKD both at the bottom, everyone else kind of pulling away. If Harps had just that little bit extra in their budget, that little bit more, as I said, two more players could make the difference. They really have been cursed with injuries and suspensions the last couple of weeks. I know Sean Boyd was back last night, but you know, Harps have a squad where Bowes have a squad. They can cope with missing a couple of players. I think Harps really, really do struggle. They just haven't got the squad, and it's probably too late now. I know a lot of managers are going to be doing a bit of business in the transfer window over the summer. I think it's probably just too late for Harps.
The other game last night, Cork City and Sligo drawing 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, Sligo, you know, were really on good form, and a lot of good things happening off the field in terms of what they're doing. I know they've redone one of the stands there. It does look a lot better, and I don't think there's any great pressure on Liam Buckley. You know, chance they might have a sniff at the European places. I don't think they'd be good enough to get there in the end. Maybe a cup run, but Sligo is a pretty happy club at the moment, unlike Cork, which is, you know, rumours going around this week about Cork and their budget that they scale back already at the start of the season. Rumours that they're going to have to scale back over the close season. They still haven't got a full-time manager. John Cotter is in as interim, but the FAI aren't allowing him to stay on. The club are trying to argue to the FAI, well, look, you let Dundalk pull a bit of a fast one with their managerial structure, and where Vinnie Perth is effectively the manager, but he's not officially the manager because he doesn't have a pro licence. Cork are trying to get word to the FAI that they want to do something similar. They like the continuity, but just Cork is just not a happy place at the moment, and even just shows you how quickly things change in football. You know, it's only a couple of years when Cork were on the way to win the league, that Sean Maguire, their place was full every week, they really were doing well, they were getting okay results in Europe, they're winning trophies. Cork, you know, just proves that it goes in cycles, and Cork are on a downward spin at the moment. Someone like Sligo are on form on and off the field. Sligo Rovers are a club on the up, and Cork are struggling. It could be Cork still have a lot of big advantage. They can still get bigger gains than most teams in the league, but not at the moment. Fans aren't happy with what they've seen. John Caulfield has gone. I think it could be another difficult year or two, a difficult spell ahead for Cork. But Sligo, it's a good place to be. Liam Buckley is there. He's got good players in. I see today they signed up Lewis Banks on a long-term deal. They're signing up players. It's not short-term. The showgrounds looks good. Sligo is a pretty good place to be at the moment.
As you mentioned, Aidan, we're into the mid-season break now. Dundalk had a slow start to the season and they're still top of the table. What do the other teams have to do to catch them?
I don't think they can do much. I mean, a lot of it could depend on Europe. You know, sometimes Europe can be a hindrance that the further you go on. Europe really does, particularly in the Europa League. The Champions League less so, because games are Tuesday and Wednesday. You can arrange to play your Champions League matches on a Tuesday and play your league game on a Friday. Thursday kickoffs in the Europa League for the three teams that are in it this year make it more difficult. So It suits Dundalk being in the, you know, being in the Champions League, whereas I think they can manage. The other teams might struggle because already we've had a couple of games called off because of the under 21 games. If Shamrock Rovers or St Pat's have a bit of a run, you're going to have games called off or games moved to Mondays. So I don't think there's much they can do. I think it's teed up for Dundalk now. They had their blip, you know, the huge change there in terms of Stephen Kenny leaving, because, you know, Stephen Kenny wasn't just the first team manager. He really controlled so much of the club. He was in charge of the staff, so much of the off-field stuff. His standards, they set, it was natural that there would be a little bit of an aberration or a bit of disruption at the start of the season, particularly because you had that, as I mentioned earlier on, this odd managerial structure where you had, you know, different. Vinnie Perth is effectively the manager, but John Gill is on the team sheet because he's a pro licence holder. It just took a little bit of time for that to bed in. New players coming in, but seems like the players they have, Dan Kelly seems to be getting a bit better, getting players back from injury. Robbie Benson is on his way back. McElhenney missed a chunk. And I think just what Dundalk have is very, very strong back four. They've got those players back in the middle, and I just can't see anybody else getting in their way. The only thing that could stop them would be, you know, if Dundalk go out of the Champions League and into the Europa League, they're in the same problem as everybody else that Thursday fixture. And it really does cause problems because you're in, particularly if you're far away. I remember a couple of years ago, St Pat's were in Kazakhstan. I think they had to come home through Dubai for whatever way the flights landed. It's really, 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 even though it sounds odd going to Dubai for a European fixture, that's just the way the flights fell for them. So it really does cause problems. So if Dundalk can have a bit of a run in the Champions League, you know, they won't get as far as the group stages, but just stay away from the Europa League for as long as they can, keep going. I just think I can't see anybody challenging. Bohemians won't be strong enough to challenge. Derry won't. Cork are too far off the pace. That's what I'm saying. The first game after the restart, Dundalk against Rovers, if Dundalk win that, I think the gap would be 10. I think I haven't got the table in front of me, but it'll be significant anyway, and I think you can just see Dundalk. I can't see anybody else catching Dundalk.
You mentioned there the Thursday night games, and it was actually something that Harry Kenny mentioned last night after the Finn Harps game, that he's hoping just for a game close to home. I suppose that is crucial, especially with the budget that we work with in the League of Ireland.
It is, because it's really difficult, and it's not fair on it really is hard for clubs that the draws next Tuesday. But I think, you know, going back 20, 30 years ago, there was a longer gap between the draw being made and then the game's being played. So you really have very little time. And I know that from speaking to people in clubs that trying to get, I know a couple of years ago, UCD were playing in Luxembourg, played Progress Niederkorn. And just with holiday season, they really found they had to charter. They paid through the nose for the flight. They played through the nose for hotels. It really is difficult that, you know, there's a lot of talk about the money you make from Europe, and you get 200 grand for the 220,000, I think, for the round. So all three clubs in the Europa League are guaranteed 220,000. But if you have to get to Belarus, if you have to, you know, if you have to get somewhere, or somewhere in Scandinavia where hotels are probably three times. I know from being in Copenhagen for the Ireland game last week, I know how expensive hotels are. So, you know, ideally, if you could get a Northern Irish club or a Welsh club, I think the ideal draw. I think there's a student team from Cardiff University in Europa this year. That'd be ideal for somebody like St Pat's, where it's not too far away. You can bring a decent support. It's not that taxing a trip. But if you have to go somewhere expensive like Scandinavia, or somewhere far flung like Kazakhstan, like Belarus, like somewhere in Ukraine, it really does eat into that. And when you do the sums at the end of it, you don't really fill the place for your home game. They often struggle to do that anyway. You don't get TV rights for your home game unless you get a real glamour tie. If Dundalk get Ajax, or if one of the Irish clubs happens to get Wolves, I think, and the Wolves come in, I think, at the round after this, you're not really going to make a lot of money on the gate or on TV. So really, you're 220 grand. By the time you've paid for flights and hotels for a travelling party of 30, you've not much left. So it's not ideal. There is money in Europe, and it's an issue. You know, one that we often talk about, you know, an All-Ireland League and distance between North and South. It's a huge blow for the Irish League that they will lose, from next year, they will lose one of their places in the Europa League because of their ranking. Anybody outside the top 50, I think Northern Ireland, I think it's just about 50 at the moment in terms of the club ranking, they're going to lose that. The Northern Ireland clubs don't take it as seriously. You often see cases where managers, players miss games because they're on holidays. The clubs in the League of Ireland do take it more seriously. They do like the money, but it's not the cash cow really that people assume it is. Unless you get through a couple of rounds, if you can get through two rounds, you know, you're looking at $500,000. But if you play one round and you have a tough game away, you lose away the first game in Belarus, second game is at home, and you know you've lost 3-0, the gate is poor, you don't have much profit left from your 200 grand.
We've touched on a lot of the top teams. Just want to focus on Derry for a second. How do you think their season's going?
I think they're doing really well. I think it's a happier club. I think a lot of stuff that happened over the last couple of years that, you know, a lot of the players brought in by Kenny Shields just really weren't up to. A lot of players imported. I think Declan Devine, they've got the right man there in terms of a man who knows the club and think you can stress that too much. I think Derry is just one of those clubs. It's just an anomaly where I think the manager needs to buy into it, buy into the people, buy into the city. You don't have to be from the city. Stephen Kenny wasn't, but he bought into it straight away. The managers who struggle there don't really do that. Pat Fennan said that he when he went there, he just couldn't, he didn't get it. He didn't get how big the club were. Dermot Keely the same, he was a disaster. John Robertson, I think you need a manager who knows the city, knows the club. There's a lot of good things going on there. Their underage structure is pretty good. It's probably a little bit behind. I think Harps have stolen a march in them in terms of players, so I think they're really going to focus on that now the next couple of years, particularly with Paddy McCourt. When I'm at Derry games now, you see McCourt is off on the bench for the senior team, so they really want to focus that. They want to get the best players from Derry Donegal area playing for Derry City, not playing for clubs in Belfast, not going to Finn Harps or not going to Dublin. They really want to get those playing, and they just signed a lot of poor players. I think Patrick McLean had a go at that over the last couple of years. He said players not fit to wear the shirt who were signing, particularly those import, you know, British imports. I think that he's got a good structure there, and again, signing them up, they're signing players, that's key for Derry. They're signing players on 18 months, you know, they got McCudden, I think, from Coleraine on a 2-year deal, signing players on longer term contracts. That it's not just what happened with Derry, you know, far too often was they would half decent team, but players on 1-year contracts, they're out of contract in October, they go back because they get an offer from Scotland or England, they go off again. They're signing players, long-term contracts. It's a well-run club. The new Brandywell, still, I think the pitch is still taking a lot of the visiting teams time to get used to. It's a happier place, and I think there's no, again, a bit like Sligo Rovers, I don't think there's any instant pressure on. I don't think Declan Devine expected to win a trophy, but just to get it going again, get the fans back, maybe get Europe back, get it going, get them competing again. They're not going to compete for the league next year, but maybe situation next year when you look and say we can push for a top three and push for a cup, the FAI Cup, League Cup, and a European place, and drill down to a lower level, make sure that there's a good 14, 15, 60-year-old in Derry or Donegal, that you're at least competing for him, that you're not going to assume that Finn Harps are going to nick him from you, or that he's going to go off to Dublin or to Belfast.
Now we'll go from the top half of the table and we'll head to the bottom half, the very bottom. Finn Harps, of course, propping up the table heading into the mid-season break, with UCD just above them. But can Finn Harps, realistically, do you think they can be safe this season?
I at the start of the season, I really thought that UCD weren't getting results, but I saw UCD probably more often than I saw Harps, and I just thought UCD, they were just unlucky. A lot of games, they were losing 1-0, 2-1. I just thought that if they just got a bit of that rubber green, a lot of younger players, just a bit more experience, maybe add one or two in the summer, I think UCD are going to struggle. I think one of their key players for the last couple of years is Gary O'Neill, the central midfielder. The talk in Dublin is that he's already gone to Shamrock Rovers. He'll be a Shamrock Rovers player by the time the restart, or certainly by July. There's talk that they might lose Neil Ferrugia. A couple of clubs in for him. Bohemian's probably going to sign him. A couple of clubs also after Conor Davis. There's some really, really good talent at UCD, but I think holding on to them is going to be difficult. A few of the players have had a bit of exposure playing for the 21s this month. Liam Scales, and UCD are in a position, maybe do they say, look, we're going down, you know, try and battle with Harps to finish, you know, not bottom, but second bottom, and try and make the playoff place. But then even that's a big gamble, because you could be playing against the Shelburne side in the playoff, or whoever does win, whoever finishes runner-up in the first division. So I think that the two of them are, they'll scrap for points. It depends what happens over the close season. If UCD lose two or three players, UCD, I think, will slump, and Harps will finish ahead of them. So it depends what business Ollie can do. I don't know if Ollie Horgan has any budget to add players. Maybe that there'd be a shifting around, that if the likes of Bowes and Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers and St Pat's, if they sign one or two, they're probably going to let one or two go. Can Harps nick one or two of those players and just bring, I think they just both lack that little bit of League of Ireland experience. I think Raf Cataro has brought a bit of that, somebody who, you know, he's not going to play 90 minutes every week, but get one or two, another Raf Cataro like figure, or maybe a fringe player at Bohemians or Shamrock Rovers. You know, Shamrock Rovers probably will move on one of their central midfielders if they do sign Gary O'Neill from UCD. So can Harps nick somebody like that, you know, nick somebody, and just to give them that bit of experience. But in terms of finishing outside the bottom two, it's going to be those two in the bottom two. I think Harps have a bit of a chance if UCD lose those players. If UCD lose Davis, if they lose O'Neill and Ferrugia, they'll just plummet and they'll finish bottom. So that's Harps' chance to finish ahead of them.
Well, Aidan, just before I let you go, I have to ask, I suppose you've nearly answered it already. What do you think your predictions are? Are Dundalk going to win the league? I think everyone might think that. The bottom half of the table, who's going down and who's coming up?
But I think Dundalk are in the league. I think it'll be a bit of a battle for second. I think Shamrock Rovers probably will, as they will strengthen. They do have a bit of money. They do have financial weight behind them that few others have. I think Rovers will finish second. If you're looking at Derry or Bowes, then maybe Harps, you know, fighting for that third spot. Probably Bowes. Maybe Sligo if they go run. I do think UCD will finish bottom. As I said, contingent on losing those players, Harps could finish second bottom. Then you're looking at coming into the playoff. We know from playoffs over the last couple of years, it's hugely unpredictable. That there was a famous one, Derry and Harps, going back 10, 15 years. There was a Shamrock Rovers, Dublin City won a couple of years ago. The playoff is unpredictable. There is a bit of an advantage for the Premier Division. I think there's a bit more of a gap between the season end and the playoff from the First Division, so the Premier Division team should be fresher. I think Shelburne are on a bit of a run at the moment. I think they had their blip earlier on. I think they've got a bit of steel behind them again. They've Kieran Kilduff has found goals. I think Shelburne will win the First Division. I think you're looking at Longford or Drogheda then to finish second. So our Harps, if Harps do finish second bottom and go into the playoff, are they good enough to beat Drogheda or good enough to beat Harps or Longford? Sorry, Longford or Drogheda. That's a tricky one. I would never try and bet on those games because you just never know what's going to happen. But it'll be an interesting finish to the season. But I think Harps do have a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. But I would like to see Ollie Horgan having the option to get one or two players. As I said, they'd like to somebody come back from England. Maybe there's a Donegal lad coming back from England who wants to come back and sign. Or a player they can pick up from one of the bigger guns, but then it's just a complete lottery then the playoffs. But that'll be a real battle then. I think somebody like Drogheda or Longford and Harps or Harps and Drogheda in the playoff will be a bit of a battle.